All right, welcome back to another episode of Locked On Jaguars, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I am your host, Zach Goodall. Make sure to throw me a follow on Twitter at Zach_Goodall, as well as my co-host, Chris Thornton, who you can find at Misto Christopho. Chris, say what's up to the people.
Victory screech!
Rest in peace, Dan Schneider. Or who was it that died?
Matt Hillenberg.
Matt, someone famous from Nickelodeon.
Rip SpongeBob creator.
Rip SpongeBob
Matt
creator.
Or something like that.
And rip the Jaguars' 7-game losing streak as well. The Jaguars came to TIAA Bank Field today, motivated by their spanking new quarterback, Cody Kessler, to pull out a dominant 6-0 victory over the Indianapolis Colts. For the first time this year, I was actually at the game, so I guess this means I have to go to games going forward. I could also not go to games going forward so they can lose out and take Dwayne Haskins.
You mean you don't want to go to our last home game of the year against the Washington Redskins? And see Colt McCoy or whoever's playing?
Colt McCoy versus Cody Kessler. That's going to be a terrible game. But let's keep this thing on track. The Jaguars broke that 7-game losing streak behind Cody Kessler at quarterback. Not that Kessler played great by literally any means, but
he didn't play bad.
I do feel like he did just meh enough to keep every part of the game like intact, to the defense staying energized, making plays. Obviously, I mean, it's so clear what the team is missing injury-wise on the offensive line and not having Fournette there as well. But I think he did just enough to keep them in it. And, I mean, if that isn't clear enough, because Blake Bortles hasn't done that in recent weeks and they lost 7 games, and Kessler comes in and they win a game, despite it not being overly impressive. But there were impressive parts on both sides of the ball, and before we started recording, Chris was sure to mention that while this is going to be the Kessler Shrine episode, we are also going to discuss the days from Jalen Ramsey, who was questionable going into the game. We decided about an hour before the game that he was going to play, as well as Ronnie Harrison, who started at strong safety. The Barry Church era appears to be over as well. So really, you know, the Harrison and Church swap and the Bortles and Kessler swap were the two main ones. And Chris, what were your takeaways on both players?
Well, like you said about Kessler, average is a pretty good word to put at it. 75% completion percentage, 18 for 24, for a flat 150 yards, no touchdowns, no interceptions. And can you guess who our leading receiver on the day was, to just keep it average?
TJ Yeldon.
Correct. So
that's how the
passing game was. A lot of checkdowns. But then Ronnie Harrison, boy, was making plays, both some good and some bad. Had one taunting call or personal foul, I don't know what they called it. Wouldn't stop jarring in Eric Ebron's face. But man, he played pretty lights out. You're already deeming him one of the best strong safeties that the Jags have ever had. So aside from Donovan Darius,
that was supposed to stay in the DMs.
Too bad.
But my actual genuine belief is that he's the best strong safety they've had since they went looking for one again. And I mean, my immediate thoughts go to Barry Church, then they go to Jonathan Cyprian, and everything before then is kind of a wash. I mean, what, maybe was Chris Brzezinski a strong safety?
All I know is people on the timeline says that Ronnie Harrison needs to stop trying to act like Donovan Darius.
And that makes no sense. He's the best freaking strong safety.
Maybe stop trying to be ever. Good, Ronnie. The fan base doesn't want you to be good.
Exactly.
Just kidding. That stupid portion. We want you to be elite.
Yeah, and he played very, very well today. I mean,
I'm curious to see what his grades are on PFF when they come out this week.
I'm literally a broken record when I talk about that play I saw in training camp, but that's when I knew he'd be special, that run fit that he made coming down and popping TJ Yeldon. If you were allowed to go to the ground, TJ Yeldon might have broken a bone. But he did that today, too. There was the play that Telvin Smith blew up, but the first contact blowing it up at the line of scrimmage, like over top the freaking center. was Ronnie Harrison coming in from the strong safety position. Like, the dude is just so instinctual, and he's growing in coverage there, but he's the true strong safety, like, thumper, coming down and making plays against the run, a physical, physical defender, and he's probably going to be one of the more fun guys on this Jaguars defense for years to come, and I think today was a really great start for him, other than the personal foul penalty, but he'll learn from that. He's just young.
It's his rookie year, and at this point, the season's a loss, so let him... I forgot who said it on the timeline, but they said, don't worry about mistakes, because the season's already lost. Let the mistakes come out this year, that way they can learn, grow from them, and next year they're ready to go. And then somebody said, the Jaguars are really playing it smart right now. While everybody's finishing the last few games of the 2018 season, the Jaguars are already in the 2019 preseason. So...
Now, in between the 2018 season and 2019 preseason comes the off season, and there's discussions on who the Jaguars are going to move on from to try and clear cap space and fix this roster in trying to get it turned around as quickly as possible. And the speculation comes a lot with the defensive line because of how much money's been put there. People are wondering, could Calais Campbell be going? Could Malik Jackson? Could Marcel Darius? Who knows at this point? But indicators do seem to be pointing at Jackson. Jackson was officially benched.
Again.
For, like, they, I mean, he was, like, kind of benched before, but, like, it wasn't ever, like, a, you know, decent bit before the game. They announced Darius and Jones as starters compared to today. Whereas today, when the inactives came out, the very, like, second or third thing we heard was, oh, yeah, by the way, Jackson's not a starter. He's, going to be the backup and coming in on pass rushing reps, whereas it was more that it was just picked up on by everyone in the past couple of weeks that Jackson was seeing less reps and only there as a specialty as a pass rushing specialist. So that immediately makes you think that Malik Jackson should be gone, right?
Yeah, I mean, if you would have told us this at the beginning of the season, we would have said absolutely the heck not, because going into the season, everybody was real on that. Malik's a top three tech in the league. He played phenomenal last year. He's going to play good this year. And it just hasn't been there. And in his contract, it's pretty manageable for the Jaguars now to release him. You save about $7 million on the books, taking about $4 million or so on dead cap. But you save 11, so net 7. But, I mean, I would... some of these guys, I'm sure, probably have, like, a trade value. I won't go too much into that, but it's unfortunate because I really
wink, if you're going to be reading the Locked On Jaguars mock draft tomorrow morning.
Yes.
Ding, ding.
But I'm trying to think. It's kind of upsetting to see Malik go because I really liked Malik. And like I said, the last few years, he'd really kind of grown to – he might have peaked. He might have peaked last year. Now that we're looking at it, he had another career year last year. I believe he broke
People were talking of him as like a top five defensive tackle.
Yeah, and so it's upsetting, but that's just the name of the game. You gave him a lot of money. He gave you two really good years as a starter for the Jaguars. But it might just be his time to go, and maybe he'll go somewhere else and flourish again. Maybe he just needs fresh environment again. But nonetheless, kind of disappointing, but I do agree that the writing's on the wall for a few defensive starters right now.
Well, the thing is that they have Jackson's heir right now. They've realized that Taven Bryan's the 3-tech. He is not a 5-tech. He doesn't play anywhere else. You have to play him right there where Malik plays. They dedicated a first-round pick to him, and from what I know, they like the progressions that he's made at 3-tech. I mean, Doug Marone's on record saying that. I've heard some stuff around the same thing, that they like what they're seeing out of him right now, now that he's back inside. So that immediately is a red flag pointing in Jackson's direction. If they like what Brian's doing, Brian is God knows how much cheaper. Like, Brian's contract right now, his 4-year contract might be less than what Jackson's salary is next year. I'm pretty sure that's right around where it's hovering. Can't confirm that. I'm going to stall and let Chris look up those numbers for me. But so that's obviously one thing. And Marcel Darius is a guy they really, really like. He is also on an expensive deal, ever so slightly less than Jackson's, but still pretty expensive. But he's a guy that they can play at 0-tech, the nose tech, as well as 1, playing nose tackle. as well as move to three tech. He did a little bit of it today. He's done a little bit of it throughout the season, and he did a lot of it when he was in Buffalo too. So he can, you know, provide some depth there and rotate with Brian as Brian adjusts to a starting role going forward, while also playing the nose tackle position and rotating with Avery Jones there. So they've got three capable guys in that front two spot, with Darius being, at the end of the day, more versatile than what Jackson is, because Jackson doesn't play that one tech spot, whereas Darius can do both. So you keep the guy that's slightly cheaper who can do both and help the, at that point, second-year starter in Taven Bryan. It sounds like a pretty good problem to have if you're confident in Bryan right now. And it sucks because, I mean, I'm a big Jackson fan myself. When I was credentialed this past offseason in training camp, preseason, I got to go into the locker room and interview some players, and I cannot tell you how cool it was to meet Malik Jackson and talk to him, because – and I met Calais Campbell, and I met some of these other guys that were really team-friendly. There was no one as team-friendly as Malik Jackson, as big of a believer as Malik Jackson. I mean, he was propping up Avery Jones. Like, I've never seen someone talk up Avery Jones before. Talking about Taven Bryan, all these other guys. He's truly a team-first guy. So you hate to see him go. A great personality, great leader. But like you said, it really might just be the writing on the wall. Now, do you happen to have that contract up? Did I stall long enough for you?
The contract, that's what you want. I thought you said PFF stats.
No, I'm sorry. The contract for Taven Bryan, I'm pretty sure over 4 years, he will make less money than what Malik Jackson's supposed to make next year.
Okay, so Taven Bryan, total guaranteed, or I guess his base salary is guaranteed. So 10.15 million, it looks like, yeah, total.
Exactly. So over 4 years, he'll make less than what Malik Jackson's supposed to make.
And then Malik Jackson next year alone is supposed to make 15 mil. So, yes.
So, yeah, if you're confident in Bryan, it's literally a no-brainer at this mm-hmm. point, right?
Yep, because, I mean,
that makes sense.
You're still due – Jackson's still due almost $45 million
yeah, off the exactly. rest of his deal. Well, so that should pretty much sum up – the recap for today. When we come back, we're going to go a little bit more in depth about how this could affect things moving forward. Today's episode of Locked On Jaguars is brought to you by A1 Sliders. Are you one of hundreds of coastal Northeast Florida homeowners who struggle every day to open and close your sliding glass door? Why spend all the money it takes to replace your sliding glass door when Tony and the gang at A1 Sliders could save you money and repair your door for you? A1 Sliders is licensed and insured. They offer free estimates, upfront pricing, and will help you save on heating and cooling costs in your home from leaky sliding glass doors. And at A1, your schedule comes first. A1 Sliders is a fan of the Locked On Jaguars podcast, and in partnering with us, they will give you $25 off of any repair you order, no limit. Just mention Locked On Jaguars before getting your repairs done. Call A1 Sliders now for your free sliding glass door repair estimate at 386-538-6835. Or check out their website at www.a1sliders.com. That's 386-538-6835 and www.a1sliders.com. And don't forget to mention Locked On Jaguars for $25 off of any repair you order. A1 Sliders, licensed and insured, LLC, covers the Jacksonville area from Fernandina Beach through New Smyrna Beach, based out of Palm Coast, Florida. Contact for more details on location and any questions you may have. So do you see Cody Kessler pulling out any more wins with this Jaguars team the rest of the year? Or do you think it might have been that, like, oh, it's the new quarterback, new OC, so they're going to get that first win to shock the world type thing that is a stereotype that
thing
comes
is,
around?
The thing is, it wasn't a shock the world type win. It wasn't a Nick Mullins Thursday night coming out and just lighting it up. It was a we got into field goal range twice, made both field goals, and the defense balled out type day. So I'm hoping that they have that new OC, new quarterback game this week against Tennessee, because that would be really nice to see. Also on Thursday Night Football, the Jags' only primetime game of the year now, to hopefully come out and see. But there wasn't really a whole lot of indication right now of that happening, because the offense was pretty stagnant for most of the day, like we said earlier. Average by almost any means, 18 for 24 for 150 yards. And his number one receiver was TJ Yeldon on basically check downs. So We'll see. Maybe Scott Milanovic and Cody Kessel will kind of have a little, even though it's a short week, we'll have a little more time to maybe game plan something a little bit better. But nothing too reassuring that the offense is just going to come out firing on all cylinders on Thursday night.
Well, you know what this could mean is that it could be Cody Kessler is going to be making TJ Yeldon a lot of money for this offseason, huh?
Yeah, I mean, like I've often said on this show is TJ Yeldon is the Le'Veon Bell consolation prize. And if you can kind of, TJ Yeldon's probably loving all these receptions and stuff as long as he's not fumbling. However, TJ does seem to kind of have a history, it seems like this year, of dropping passes that hit him right in the hands. So right. You might want to get that up or fix that up a little bit, because I know Blake Wood and then Kessler did a few times today where he would just kind of hit him right in the hands. I'm not sure if today if Yeldon was expecting an on-target pass like that, because Kessler was kind of zipping the ball around on throws that he did make. They were leaving the hand with some pretty good force and tight spirals. So the receivers, like I said, might not be used to that. But nonetheless, hopefully the offense is a little more dynamic this week against Tennessee.
Now, do you think that the theory holds true that the change at quarterback, which wasn't great, but it yielded somewhat effective offense, truly got this defense to be playing the way it did today? Especially, you know, I mean, we weren't expecting Jalen Ramsey to do too much today with his knee injury, but he came out firing. AJ Boye looked better. Miles Jack and Telvin Smith looked a lot better than they've mm-hmm. looked all season long. The pass rush was getting home, putting a ton of pressure on the quarterback. Like, I mean, give me your thoughts on that. Do you think that theory might be holding true?
I completely believe that that was a major factor into the defense playing well this week. Like I said, I think with every week that Blake started, the rift in the locker room just got bigger and bigger. And we heard this week from several reports that Cody Kessler seemed to be like uniting the locker room, getting guys to rally around him. And although he didn't come out and light the league on fire, he didn't turn it over at all. And I think the defense kind of really appreciated it. It was kind of just a back and forth, but the defense was definitely feeling it today. But we saw this when Cody came in against the Texans a few weeks ago. In the second half, the defense looked revitalized. They came out, were playing harder, ultimately didn't get the win, but they looked better, and today was no different. Jalen Ramsey played his second best game of the year, coming after a career performance last week. He looked just as good today. He was a little slow. I thought he wasn't going to make it through the game because his knees seemed to really be bothering him, but had a lot of really good pass breakups on T.Y. Hilton and was just looking like old Jalen Ramsey. So he played good. AJ Bouye was having a strong game. The secondary as a whole is really coming together like they went now that they're healthy. DJ Hayden had a pick to start the game, so I joked around saying Nichols making plays, and then I believe Demetrius said, wow, it is possible for a nickel cornerback to get an interception in the regular season. But I was preaching that all year. Although we only saw Hayden for two games, his impact as a nickel was great in the first 2 weeks, and I think people kind of really undervalued him in the secondary. And now that they're all healthy again, the secondary seems to look whole, even not at 100% due to Jalen's knee. Jalen looked good. AJ looked good. DJ looked good. I mean, this secondary as a unit going forward, with Ronnie Harrison starting in the back end and Tashawn Gibson, if he stays here next year, could be a really good secondary unit still moving forward.
Yeah, I definitely think it'll be interesting. And like you said, whether Gibson's here or not, obviously they can get rid of Church and they have Harrison as a centerpiece going forward. Whether or not, if they decide to blow things up, if they want to maybe trade away an all-pro corner, they got two of them. But regardless, they've got a guy on a pretty solid contract in DJ Hayden who can fill that very important nickel spot for them. So I do see him being a centerpiece in the secondary, although he might be the most underrated aspect of it. Now, that should just about move us on to our final segment. It'll be obviously on topic with the Jaguars, but much, much removed from today's game. Chris is not ready to talk about it. We're going to talk about a potential offensive coordinator hiring that might make a lot of people mad. But let's see what you guys think when we're done with the segment.
You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in the business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. I would only recommend a service to my listeners that's been good to me. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game, live betting, over-unders on fantasy points scored, and the most rewarding player perks in the business. MyBookie is slammed with new bettors and wants to give everyone the best service possible. If you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern Time, they'll give you an additional $25 free play on deposits over $100. Join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate this offer. Visit MyBookie today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when creating your account to claim up to $1,000 in free play. If you're willing to hold out until 7 p.m., you get an extra $25 free play by using promo code LOCKEDON and add 25 at the end of it. If it's up to you guys, but I'd wait until after dinner to take extra money. You play, you win, you get paid.
So Chris has always had a love for a certain NFL quarterback. His like biggest crush ever in the time that I've known Chris.
QB1,
and his name is Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers' coach was just fired. An offensive mind, a former Super Bowl winning coach who's been with Green Bay for a long time. He is now a free agent. Probably going to be looking for another job soon, whether that is as an offensive coordinator somewhere, which is what his past is. He spent time with the New Orleans Saints, a couple other teams coaching the offense for taking on the Green Bay coaching job. I think 2004, 2005, something like that. Very curious to see if the Jaguars give him a call about their vacant offensive coordinator position. Chris, in one sad, distraught sound, what would your thoughts be on a hiring of Mike McCarthy? Remember the
it's like having Greg Olsen back.
Remember the rumors last week that Ben McAdoo was in town. There was a picture of him in an airport. People didn't think it was real. I can pretty much tell you guys that it was real.
I'd rather have Ben McAdoo's mole rat head looking ass than
There were people responding to the tweet saying, "Yeah, like, I've got a friend that works at the airport. This is legit." And you could look at the picture. If you look close enough, you could tell it was JIA. It had to have been it was pretty legit. I have a gut feeling he was in town. Whether he was interviewing for a position or not, I have absolutely no clue. But funny that he was in town. Now, there's a connection there. Ben McAdoo is under the coaching tree of Mike McCarthy. That may have something to do with this. It may not, but obviously people in the NFL keep close circles. Ben McAdoo obviously being in town is a headline for the Jaguars not having an offensive coordinator and McAdoo being an offensive mind. And I'm curious if McCarthy could be a guy. If the Jags are going to try and look for these retread guys rather than trying to be creative, I guess might be the better way to look at this. And, I mean, we don't like McCarthy as a head coach as he's kind of spiraled out over the past couple years in Green Bay, but maybe he just needs to start fresh somewhere as an offensive coordinator. He's not really old by any means. He's like 55 years old. Like I said, got a big offensive background. I mean, I can't say I'd hate that type of hire.
Speak now, for yourself.
Now, one thing is that would mean three NFL head coaches all in one building, and that could be a big power struggle in McCarthy, Marone, and Coughlin. And we're already seeing a bit of a power struggle here in Jacksonville, so adding a third head coach might not be the best idea, but they've already – I mean, they've if they did meet with McAdoo, that's a retread coach. McCarthy would be another one. So maybe they're just looking for that type of guy.
They just want to make their life as difficult as possible.
Maybe, just, but
I don't know.
This is kind of some filler content. We're curious to see what the fan base thinks about this. So shoot us a message on Twitter if you think the Jaguars should or shouldn't hire Mike McCarthy as their offensive coordinator now that he is no longer the Green Bay Packers head coach. I'm really curious to hear some takes. Be sure to send them our way. And while you're doing that, while you're on the Locked On Jaguars internet thing, go ahead and subscribe to Locked On Jaguars on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Megaphone, anywhere you can listen to podcasts. You can listen to us here at Locked On Jaguars. Keep leaving those ratings, those reviews. We love all the commentary. Keep hitting us up on Twitter. Keep talking to you guys about Jacksonville Jaguars football. Good win today. Keep an eye out for more pods this week. Keep an eye out for a mock draft this week on LockedOnJaguars.com, as well as a Justin Herbert scouting portfolio that I am currently in the midst of working on. I'll have that out some point during the week, and we will catch up with you guys next time.